food and water, clothing, housing, and then jobs and schools. As hundreds of thousands of displaced persons have moved gradually through this hierarchy of needs since the destruction caused by Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, there's a question mark that lingers unspoken in the background: the effect of that chaos and displacement on the evacuees' mental health. Psychiatrists assume that many of those individuals will suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, an illness that's especially common among law enforcement officers and soldiers who serve in combat. Although the New Orleans evacuees were not police officers or soldiers, many of them nonetheless witnessed grim scenes of death and violence as the floodwaters rose and living conditions deteriorated. PTSD has a dismayingly long list of possible symptoms, of which severe anxiety, recurring nightmares, insomnia, and clinical depression are only a few. But when public health professionals search the academic literature for specific advice on helping the storm victims, they find surprisingly little information. Dr. Max Michael, dean of the UAB School of Public Health, explains why.
I think the reason that very little research has been done in this country about resettling the population of, say, an entire city is that displacement of this large of a scale is usually caused by something man-made, like a war. And fortunately, at least in modern times, a war has not been fought inside the United States.
Perhaps the most relevant research about the psychological damage done to people from displaced communities is both very new and somewhat outside the norm. A psychiatry professor at Columbia University, Dr. Mindy Fullilove, has coined a name for the phenomenon. She calls it root shock, which happens to be the title of her new book. For years, she's been studying communities uprooted by a very different force, urban renewal, also known sometimes disparagingly as gentrification. Fullilove was in Alabama recently as a consultant to the School of Public Health.
I use the term root shock to mean the suffering that results from the loss of all or part of one's emotional ecosystem. That is the world, the intimate world, one's neighborhood, place where you live. Very common for people to suffer when they lose the world in which they were situated.
The book's full title is Root Shock: How Tearing Up City Neighborhoods Hurts America and What We Can Do About It. And it was published before the disastrous hurricanes hit. But the mental health parallels of the two types of damage are so strikingly similar that Fullilove's research has taken on an eerie new relevance. Her path has not been an easy one. In the beginning, she says, other professionals tried to convince her that her field was not really a field at all.
I think the idea in general in the mental health professions is that people have important relationships with people and place is optional. And so the idea that the relationship with place is actually a necessity, it's not optional, you have to live someplace, flies in the face of much current orthodoxy. So I think we had got into a train of thinking about place that minimized it.
As for the recovering hurricane victims, Fullilove believes that their most immediate mental health need is a kind of emotional triage.
There's no question that in the short term, in addition to the grounding, what I think people need is to get a sense of the future. And that's what's been most lacking in this period, immediately after Katrina and Rita.
In her book, Fullilove says that even such violent dislocations can sometimes have a silver lining, a chance for people to literally start their lives over, to build a new emotional ecosystem that's better suited to their needs than the old one was. But what she's seen so far of the government's response to the tragedy, she says, has not been encouraging.
We don't know how cruel our society is going to be to them. One thinks that if you're exposed to trying circumstances, the odds are you're going to have trauma-related mental illness, and that's true. But if people gather around you and nourish you and rebuild your house and help you have beautiful new furniture and get you back there and on your feet again, you could feel pretty great. It's not likely. It's likely that we will do everything bad to these people, in which case we can expect to see a downward spiral of problems.
Perhaps the most damaging aspect so far for New Orleans evacuees, Fullilove says, is the ongoing talk about abandoning the city's older neighborhoods altogether.
The idea that, well, maybe we will do something with the Ninth Ward that won't include poor people in New Orleans, is really an assault on somebody who was evacuated from a disaster and is then told, well, maybe you can never go home. That's egregious, and that's very harmful for people's mental health.
Ironically, Fullilove says, this kind of damage is being done at a time in history when new technologies, could make it easier than ever to emotionally reconnect dispersed communities.
We have to build democratic institutions that will operate for the people in diaspora. And this should be very easy to do using the internet, media, radio, television, so that people feel connected to their hometowns and can have a voice through their council people, feel connected with their social and fraternal organizations, feel connected with their families. So that short term, you've got to give people the sense that they are part of something that they were part of before. They have to have hope.
Not many people fully understand yet just how high the stakes are in that challenge, Fullilove says. If we fail at the task, we're not only condemning large numbers of Americans to long-term emotional illnesses, she believes, but the ripple effect of that suffering will spread throughout society as a whole.
Because we aren't just people randomly scattered. We actually live together in neighborhoods. We work together in workplaces. And it gives us a way to see the specific relationships that we have to repair, the specific inequalities that we have to abolish, like residential segregation. There's a specific way of deforming American democracy that has to be abolished because it causes this kind of pain. It's something that can really take us in that great leap forward of being a better country and a better world partner. As soon as we see that, we have great hope.
For WBHM, I'm Dale Short.